take your Bibles tonight. A very simple lesson tonight. A lot of moving parts. And I'm going to go down the outline fairly quickly, but I want you to learn a couple things tonight. Number one, I want you to understand that Ahab was the most wicked king that Israel ever had. Notice, if you would, in the outline, the top sentence says, "See the grace and goodness of God." I want you to understand that. I want you to, tonight, we're going to learn the grace and the goodness of God to anybody. I want you to see that tonight. God is good to the evil. God is good to the wicked. And God is good to the righteous. Now, He doesn't have to be to the wicked, but He is. God is innately good. He is in His soul good. God loves people. He loves to be good to people. That's His default. Only when we step out of line and disobey does God get angry, does God have to correct us and punish us. But in God's normal nature, God is good to us, and He's always better to us than we deserve. And you're going to see that tonight. Now, notice with me, if you would, Romans 1 in the outline, Ahab was Israel's most wicked king. I want you to listen to this verse, 1 Kings 16. Listen to this verse, if you will. "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." So he was wicked. He married a wicked king's wife. He worshiped Baal. Oh, he was a terrible king. He went after Elijah. He built up Baal worship. Does anybody remember the name of his wife? Jezebel. Anybody married to Jezebel has got to be a bad guy. So you got to understand, he's married to Jezebel. He's got a wicked wife, a wicked king. You remember she even had a man slain just to take his vineyard from him when he wouldn't sell it. She was a wicked woman, and Ahab was a wicked king. But in that light, I want you to see tonight that God loves us all. And God is good to people that are not good back to Him or good to others. Notice, if you would, A in the outline, he had a wicked heart. You can see that in verse 30 and 33 in chapter 16. He worshiped the world's gods. You see that in verse 32. He didn't worship Jehovah. He worshiped Baal, Asheroth. And C, he was a selfish king and not concerned about the people of God. You can see that a little later on. He just was only interested in himself. Now, notice Roman numeral 2. Then the Bible says, the Syrian king Ben-Hadad came to force Israel to be his subjects. He had a large army. So, if you'll notice, 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, horses and chariots, and went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, the silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives also, thy children, even thy goodliest are mine." I'm going to take your best gold and silver. I'm going to take it. He surrounded his city. And here Ahab said, oh my, I can't defeat this guy. So understand his predicament. He said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take your gold and your silver, the best of it. And I'm going to take your wives, the prettiest ones. And notice, if you would, and thy children, I'm going to take the smartest ones. Now notice in the outline, A, he demanded all of Ahab's valuables. B, number A1, he wanted Ahab's best gold. He wanted his best wives, number two. And number three, he wanted his smartest children. And now notice B, Ahab agreed to let Ben-Hadad have what he wanted. He said, okay, you can have it, because he knew the alternative was going to slay everybody. Now keep in mind, when we're wicked of heart, we have no access to the God of heaven for his help. So I want you to understand today that everybody in this room, when we develop wickedness in our heart, we cut off our connection to God. The Lord's arm is not shortened that he cannot save or hear, but your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not listen. That's Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. So it's our sin that keeps God from listening to us. It's not God. So if we develop wickedness in our heart, you may be a Christian tonight. and you've got a little bit of bitterness towards someone. You've got a little bit of hurt towards someone. Or you're just mad at something. Then we better be very careful, because we can cut God off and not be able to talk to him when trouble comes. Well, Ben-Hadad had come, surrounded the city, and Ahab had no recourse. So he says, okay, you can have them. Come get them. Well, then it was so easy, Ben-Hadad said, okay, now I'm going to let my men come in and get what they want. So notice the next one. Verse 6, yet I will send my servants unto thee. Tomorrow about this time they shall search thine house and the house of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. I'm not only going to take what I want, my servants are going to take whatever they want. Now, notice if you would, see in the outline, then Ben-Hadad said he wanted his men to come into Israel and take whatever they wanted. We just read that in verse 6. Notice D, Ahab said, I can't do that. Now what he does is, he goes to the other children of Israel. And you'll notice in verses 9 through 11, wherefore he said unto the messenger of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for thy servant at the first I will do. But this thing I may not do. I cannot let anybody in your group, all your soldiers, come through and take the best that they want. I can't do that. And the messenger departed and brought him word. In verse 10, and Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so more unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. I've got so many people, it's like dust in front of you. I'm going to come in and consume and take what I want anyway. Well, notice if you would, D in the outline, Israel refused and Ahab got arrogant. For whatever reason, Ahab looks out, just gets mad about it. And he says, oh, and makes a smart comment to him in verse number 11. And smarts off to Ben-Hadad and makes Ben-Hadad mad. So in verse 12, and it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, he was drinking, he and his kings in the pavilion, that he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. They set themselves in array against the city. He said, we're going to battle. We're going to go take what we want. Now, notice if you would, E in the outline, then Ben-Hadad came to attack and destroy Israel. Now, at that point, God didn't have to do anything. But God loved the people of Israel. Understand, even though there's wicked leadership, and I do believe we have some wicked leadership in our country, even though they're our leaders and we ought to at least respect them for the position they have, they're fostering the wrong standards for our country. They're fostering the wrong laws for our country. And so we look at it, and so we're very frustrated about those kinds of things. And so the Lord looks at it and says, now, I have Christians in America. Now, not all the time does he deliver those Christians. Not all the time does he deliver the children of Israel. But God, in his own concept and mind, says, I don't want my children to be destroyed. So I'm going to deliver them in spite of Ahab. And folks, tonight, that's what we can pray for. We can pray for God to deliver us, the Christians in America, and our country, in spite of the leadership of a lot of the congressmen and senators and things that they're doing, laws are trying to pass. We can say, Lord, would you deliver us from this? The pandemic. Lord, would you deliver us from this virus? Lord, would you send a vaccine? Lord, would you send a cure for it? We can pray for that, and the Lord can answer. And so tonight, I would urge you to understand that God loves us in this country, no matter what's going on. And God knows we're here, just like he knew the children of Israel were in this country and they had a wicked king, the most wicked king to date. So you and I understand that God has a soft heart for his children. And so notice what happens. Roman numeral 3 in the outline. God himself stepped in to defend Israel in spite of Ahab. God can bless a family in spite of a wicked father. God can bless a family in spite of a wicked mother. God can work in spite of leadership. And he does many times. Well, notice if you would, A, God sent a prophet to tell Ahab he would deliver Israel into Ahab's hands. Look at verse 13. Behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, I love that passage. I always love it when everything gets really bad and then the Bible says, the Lord speaks up and says, thus saith the Lord. And tonight, I want you to understand, I think the Lord's about ready to speak and say, thus saith the Lord to America, to us. Well, notice what he says. Hast thou seen all this great multitude? It's like God delights in impossible. He delights in that. Notice, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. That's why God delights in the impossible. Because if he does the impossible, we know we had nothing to do with it. We know the only way the impossible could have gotten done is the Lord himself. So tonight, what impossible thing are you looking at? Getting a job when 40 million people have lost theirs. Keeping your company afloat when companies are going out like lights. What is it? Maybe you've got the virus. And the Lord says, I got this. Do you understand that the Lord loves the impossible? Well, notice in verse 14, Ahab said, by whom? Who are you going to deliver us by? You can almost see the doubt in his mind. And notice this. I love this. And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the prophets. Then he said, who shall order the battle? He said, okay, I'm going to deliver it with all the princes. Now there's princes in all the different areas around. And he said, I'm going to deliver you with those princes. They're going to go into battle and win the victory for you. And he says, who's going to be the general? And the Lord said, you. Can you believe the Lord used the most wicked king to win the battle? I don't understand the way the Lord works a lot of times. I don't understand why God used Samson like he did. But he does. God sees things in the heart that we can never see. And that's the reason we have to be so careful we're not judgmental. Because God sees things we don't. We look at things and say, well, I'm going to trust you. God has a set of rules and things he follows. But God sees the heart we don't. Notice if you would. Be in the outline. God wanted Ahab to know again that he is God. And he is good. But he is God. Notice. Ahab asked the prophet how, and God told him the battle plan. One, God said to use the 7,000 princes first. Now look at verse 14. He said he uses the princes. And so we find out a little later that there's 7,000 of them. And you'll notice, if you would, two, God told Ahab to lead the battle. Now I'm going to give you, Ahab, the plan. I don't trust you to figure it out. I'm going to give you the plan. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you who to use. So God was very specific through the prophet. Three, God said to use a surprise attack and he would bless with victory. So Ahab had to follow the command of God in order to win. God won the victory in Israel. Now listen to verse 16. They went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. Now I wonder who allowed Ben-Hadad to get drunk in the middle of the day. The God of heaven did. You see, God had set everything up. And many times you and I don't see the planning of God when we're facing the impossible. But it's there. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 17. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out. And they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. He's still drinking, partying, having a good time. Doesn't think there's going to be any issue. So these young men, verse 19, out of the princes of the prophets came out of the city and the army which followed them, and they slew everyone his man. Now, who allowed them to slay the army that faced them that was like the dust for handfuls of people? Because God was with them. Who allowed Gideon to win the victory with 300? Because God was with him. who allowed David to slay the giant because God was with him. And I'm just telling you tonight, when we look at this lesson, God sometimes uses wicked people to bless his people. And tonight, you may not understand, why is God using this person? God is just using that person, perhaps, so they can see that God is God. And so tonight, as you could see, the Lord used Philip to go into the desert to tell a man about the Lord that he couldn't find the Lord any other way. And just tells me that God can do anything. If he could take a man searching for the Savior into the desert, and a famous preacher winning hundreds and thousands into the desert to have one meeting, God can do anything. And so tonight, God wants to use you and I. In this pandemic, God wants to use us. You heard the story about 3 weeks ago. There was a man came to the door. It was 7 something in the morning. I'd come early to work. And he came to the door. I went out and found out what he needed. He was getting in his truck. He got out. He said, I just need to confess to somebody. Well, my antennas went up. I said, well, you can't confess to me, but I know who you can. And we sat down for about an hour back here in the lobby and social distanced, and he got saved. So people can get saved social distance. I know that. I've seen it firsthand. I didn't realize it. But I took my Bible and opened it up and walked him through it. And I said, would you like to trust the Lord and tell him your sin? He said, I would. Bowed his head and trusted Christ. Came to church the next Sunday. So all I'm trying to say to you is that it is possible for God to save sinners as long as you and I are in the right place in the right time. We're obedient. And I shudder to think if I would have just stayed in bed a little bit longer. I didn't have to get there early that day. And to be frank with you, I don't know why I did. I like to get places early. I don't like to be late. But why did I get here that early? Because God knew somebody was coming to that door. So I'm just telling you tonight that God uses your life if you'll let him. And he works with wicked people as well because he's trying to get them to see himself. Let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to suffer a little bit of mistreatment to let a wicked man see the Lord in you so he can be saved? We have to learn to say yes to that. We have to learn to suffer a little bit so the wicked could be saved. Now, notice if you would in the outline, they win the big victory. Everything's going great. Ahab doesn't change his heart. So notice Roman numeral 4. 1 year later, God prepared Ahab and Israel, and they defeated Ben-Hadad again. In verse 22, the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself. That was, go get prepared. And mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee again. So be prepared. The king's coming back. And notice why. Because God knew that his advisors were saying, the gods of Israel are the gods of the hills. They're not the gods of the plains. So let's go fight them in the plains and we'll win. Well, that made God angry. He said, I'm the God of the hills, the valleys, and the plains, and I'm the God of everything. So notice, if you would, verse 23. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight them in the plain, and surely we be stronger than they. Well, you'll notice, I love the passage, verse 27. Now follow along with me. God can do the impossible. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went out against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids or goats. But the Syrians filled the country. It looks like an unfair battle. But you'll notice in verse 28, there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. Do you know God hears every word? And God doesn't like it when we belittle him. When we take away his power. when we discredit him. He doesn't like it when the wicked do it. Can you imagine if his children do it? God doesn't like that. And he hears it. Can you imagine this? Well, I was just talking to somebody tonight. They got a job, started their first day yesterday, during their second day today, in this pandemic when 38, 40 million people lost their jobs. Oh, the Lord can do that. All I'm trying to say to you is this. You can pray about something and you fill out all the applications and do your best and God steps in. We can always count on him. And I'm reminded here, the two little flocks against tens of thousands of the Syrians. And God says, you got this. I'm going to take care of it for you. Well, you'll notice in verse number 28, the last phrase says this. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So God is trying to reach the hearts of two people, two groups of people. The children of Israel and the leadership of Israel, Ahab, and all of the people of Syria. He's trying to get them to understand I'm the God of the hills as well as the valleys. And I want my children to understand that too. So God is always working our hearts in every event that he does, especially in the impossible. And notice, if you would, Roman number 4. A, the Syrians thought God was the God of the hills and not the God of the plains. B, God wanted all to know that he is the God of everywhere and everything. So we need to learn that lesson. God is the God of everywhere and the God of everything. You can write that down. Our God is the God of everywhere, so there's no place on earth you can go that God is not there. I remember we were on a mission trip in the Brazilian rainforest, the Amazon. And we were lost. And everything was flooded. The guide was lost. And I said, Lord, would you get us home safely? Lord, you got to help us. And I looked down and the water was flowing and you could see the trees, the little limbs. It was hitting and going around them. So what does that tell you? I'm no rocket scientist, but I knew the water was going toward the river. So if we followed that direction long enough, we got to get to the Amazon River out of the rainforest. And so we're riding in this boat, and every time we hit a tree, all the bugs and the ants would fall on us. You have to kill them all. Oh, man, it was driving everybody crazy. And you're going through these trees. We're trying to avoid them. And about an hour and a half or 2 hours, the water's getting a little bit faster. I said, Lord, you've got to guide us. And then all of a sudden, we come out of the last group of trees right out in the middle of the Amazon River that's a mile wide nearly. And I said, Lord, thank you. And then guess what? I didn't know how to get to the city, Atalaya, but I knew it was downriver. So guess what was the next thing? Rocket scientists, the river's going like this. Let's go that way. And we go down, all of a sudden, there's the city. It's like the Lord says, I got this. Do you understand tonight that the Lord is the God of everywhere? And he is the God of everything. And you and I need to learn that lesson tonight from this very passage. Now you'll notice, if you would, see, God gave the victory, but Ahab let Ben-Hadad go free, and God rebuked him. So notice verse 34. Now, Ben-Hadad says, well, you know, I'm going to go throw myself on the mercy of Ahab. My army's gone. And yet God had determined Ben-Hadad to die because he was such a wicked man. And Ahab was to win the victory. But Ahab, notice if you would, in verse 34, the last part. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So I made a covenant with him and sent him away. Now, you know, when you're in the middle of battle and your enemy trying to kill you, and then he says, hey, you got me, I'll be good to you, you don't ever turn your back on him. But Ahab does. And God says, you shouldn't have done that. So you'll notice verse 36. Then said he unto him, this is God, unto Ahab, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Behold, as thou hast soon departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. So he's speaking to the prophet right now. But you'll notice, if you would, this whole story is about people not obeying the Lord, not doing what God says. And so you'll notice in the outline, 5, Ahab did not return and repent and serve God after all that God showed him of his power and love. God blessed Ahab even though he was wicked. You'll notice, if you would, B, God even expects the wicked to obey. Now, you'll notice in verse 42, and he said to him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast left out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. God held Ahab, a gross sinner, accountable. You know, that tells me the last part of the lessons tonight. Everyone is accountable to God. There's no one you're going to meet that's not going to be accountable to God. Small and great. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Revelation 20. So God holds every sinner accountable and every saint accountable. It's just that we're his children. So when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, things are far better than at the great white throne judgment. There's no hope. So you'll notice in the outline, if you would, see, God made Ahab a promise that he would pay with his life for his disobedience. Number 6, let's learn from Ahab's life that God blesses everyone. And he wants every saint or sinner to obey him. Let's learn the lesson that, now I want you to see this, God tells Ahab, you didn't do what's right. Your life will go for his life. What do you think Ahab should have done right then? At that point in time, he should have said, oh Lord, forgive me, and fallen on his face. He could have been saved that day. He would have still died, probably, but God has changed his mind before. Verse 43, and the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. Heavy is depressed and disappointed with God. And he came to Samaria. He did not repent of his sin. Folks, when you and I do that which is wrong, disobey the Lord, we'll always pay the price when we are depressed and disappointed with God for something we did or we caused. So let's learn the lessons tonight. Number 1, God expects saints and sinners to obey him. 2, God holds saints and sinners accountable. Now I want to take just a minute. Sinners will be held accountable at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. Small and great stood before God. And the books were opened. The books of their life. Well, I wasn't as bad as so-and-so. And God starts reading the list of their sins. And they realize they're guilty. And the Bible says that he's going to send an angel. They're going to take them and cast them. The word is balo. And the word balo, the Greek word balo, is to throw without caring where it lands. Now just think about that. Everyone at the great white throne judgment, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast, balo, into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire without caring where it lands. God has a point where he is finished with sinners. When they've rejected his son, they've cursed him, they've mocked him, he says, you'll have to go to hell. I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter to me. You had your chance. So tonight, Don't you think you and I should live a holy life to make an impact on sinners? To give them one chance to see someone doing what's right in the midst of trouble? And then you'll notice God wants Christians to be like Philip, to obey immediately when God asks us to do something, even though it doesn't make sense. Ahab obeyed and God gave him the victory. He disobeyed and he paid with his life. Tonight, God is a God of justice, but God is a God of goodness. Why would he bless Ahab with victory? Because he loves Ahab. And you remember he said, so that you would know that I am the God of everywhere and everything. Tonight, let's put the Lord first in our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. I'm going to ask that the pianist come and play a verse of Invitation Hymn. Maybe you're at home and you just slip down beside your couch, beside your bed, wherever you are, and realize that God loves you. He loves every person on the face of the earth. But God is a God of justice. And tonight you can see with Ahab, God can give victory even to sinners. And he loves sinners, but he doesn't put up with their sin. And Ahab later on has to pay with his life. And he never repented. Now tonight, we're Christians. Let's draw up close to the Lord. Remember, our God is the God of the impossible. He is the God of everywhere and everything. Tonight, we'll have a word of prayer. If you need to talk to him in a special way, slip down beside your seat. Come down to this altar. Lord, I need to talk to you tonight. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to leave with peace in our hearts tonight, knowing we're in your perfect will and doing what you want us to do. In your name I pray. Amen.